This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning and happy belated Thanksgiving. Sean Myers here on the Fan Early Morning Show, taking you for the next 40 or so minutes before I turn things over to Jeff Hathorn and Paul Zeiss, coming via Studio B. Bowser out in Monroeville. Got a couple of topics that I want to get to over the next half hour plus here on the Fan Early Morning Show. A little bit later, I want to talk about the NBA in-season tournament and a discussion if anyone really cares at this point. I know it's received some rave reviews, a lot of positive feedback. I have a slightly different perspective, and then not just in the NBA realm, but would we potentially see something like this make its way to other sports, potentially Major League Baseball or the National Hockey League as well, depending on if it succeeds or maybe if it fails to meet the expectations in the NBA. Also want to talk about some holiday sports traditions. Obviously, you think of Thanksgiving and football, but there's plenty others throughout the calendar year, ways to spend your holidays if you are a sports fan like so many of us are. But talking about Thanksgiving, of course, everyone thinks about the NFL and the three games that always take place on Thanksgiving. Mentioned with the update just a few minutes ago, Packers over Lions, Cowboys over Commanders, 49ers over Seahawks. So you get pretty much a full day of NFL action every Thanksgiving on Thursday. And then, of course, you get some great college football action either the day after and primarily the Saturday after Thanksgiving. That'll be the case again this year. Penn State is playing today. Of course, some big games tomorrow, including Ohio State and Michigan. But when I think of the day after Thanksgiving in terms of the sports calendar, I think of the WPIAL football championships down at Heinz Field, or now Acrisure Stadium. And it is always a special, special day. And it's a special day here in this building as well, because it will be KDK Radio that will be the home for all four of the championships to take place today at Acrisure, starting with the 1A championship at 11 a.m. all the way up to the 4A championship that will probably finish up at around 11 p.m. So it is a full day of action here. And again, KDK Radio is the home for the WPIAL championships today from Acrisure Stadium. I cover a lot of high school athletics, including football. I will actually be down there for at least one game and probably parts of a couple others today. And so I kind of want to spend the next several minutes talking about some of these matchups, because I think that for high school football, this is the pinnacle. And these teams that prevail today will go on to the state playoffs, and they'll have a chance in a couple weeks to potentially play for PIAAL gold. No longer in Hershey, it's in Cumberland Valley at Cumberland Valley High School, but still, that is a major milestone to make it to a state championship. But I think most players in this area would tell you that it is the WPIAL championship, and for these classifications, the opportunity to play at Acrisure Stadium, which is number one on their to-do list. It's just a special environment, more so than the state championship game, because you're playing on the same field that the Pittsburgh Steelers compete on, the same field that the Pitt Panthers play on each and every home game throughout the season. And so it's something that for these players who are 14 to 18 years old, they dreamed about probably since they were first watching the game of football, an opportunity to play under the lights. And you've reached this part of the season. Obviously, you've had a great season, but this is the one that if you win, you become forever etched in WPIAL history. That's a history that goes back well over 100 years. So let's jump in with the first game of the day. It is the 1A matchup, and the top two teams in the bracket and two undefeated teams. Number one, Southside Beaver, the Rams are 13-0. Number two, Fort Cherry, the Rangers are 13-0. I know when the brackets came out, this was one that was a little controversial. A lot of people thought that Fort Cherry really had an argument to be the number one seed. The Rams obviously got it. They proved that they've deserved it, but Fort Cherry was undeterred by not getting that number one seed. Maybe a motivating factor as well for the Rangers to set up this terrific matchup. 11 o'clock, the kickoff. This is the only one that we know will start on time. The hope is that the next three games will begin at 2, 5, and 8, respectively, but doesn't always go according to plan. Let's look at the past for these teams. Southside reaching the championship courtesy of a 28-12 victory last week against the powerhouse Clairton Bears. I think that's a major mental hurdle that the Rams have cleared, knocking off a Clairton team that has been so familiar with winning championships and playing down in front of the gold seats at Heinz Field or Acrisure Stadium. Prior to that, Southside took care of business, knocking off Greensburg Central Catholic 48-21 in the quarterfinals and shutting out Manesson, the number 16 seed, 39-0 in the first round. The 1A bracket is a little bit more of a traditional-looking bracket if you followed high school football for quite a while now. It is a full 16 teams, so no byes in this bracket. Fort Cherry, as I mentioned, the number 2 seed. Rangers certainly had an argument to be the top seed after they had a terrific regular season, including defeating Bishop Canavan. They knocked off the Crusaders a second time this season. It came last week in the semifinals, 33-21 in favor of Fort Cherry. Prior to that, they ousted Rochester, a team that has, much like Clairton, a terrific football tradition. They really dominated the Rams 42-0. I think that was a statement victory for Fort Cherry in the quarterfinals. And they dominated against Jefferson Morgan as well in the first round, 50-16, knocking off the 15th-seeded Rockets to kind of set the tone for this postseason run. I know that when you think of these two teams, probably not quite the football tradition that some of the other teams playing today hold, but they've proven that they deserve to be here. Southside, I mentioned, the number one seed. Last time that they claimed a WPIL title, well, it was last century. It was 1999, last millennium, that the Rams captured a title. They also won in 1970, so they're in pursuit of their third ever WPIL crown today. And the numbers are very legitimate. They have averaged over 43 points per game, and their defense has been suffocating, allowing less than 9 points per game, 8.7 to be exact, one of the best defenses in the entire WPIAL. Ryan Navarra has led the way offensively, 1,369 rushing yards. He has scored 26 touchdowns. Those are eye-popping numbers, but as I run through some of the stats in these games today, really that's kind of par for the course. If a team makes it here, they probably have at least one, if not two or three players who have just put up video game-like numbers so far this season. Rams also have a dual threat at quarterback, as Brody Almashie has thrown for over 1,000 yards, nearly 1,100 to be exact, in 17 touchdowns. And then he has accounted for 18 touchdowns on the ground as well for the Rams. On the other side for Fort Cherry, I mentioned dual threat quarterbacks. Well, certainly the Rangers have that. They have never won a WPIL title, however, hoping that this will be the year and maybe the third time the charm. They played in 2001 and 1997 in championship games, but came up short both times. As good as the numbers are offensively for Southside Beaver, Fort Cherry even better offensively, averaging 45.6 points per game this season. Just incredible offensive output for the Rangers. And their defense not too shabby either, giving up just over 11 points per game. Matt Sigg, everyone knows his name by now. He is just a sophomore, but he's doing things that very few players have ever done in WPIAL history. Has already garnered a lot of Division I offers, Power 5 interest. He is going to be a name that people hear certainly for years to come, and they've already heard it quite a bit, including this year when he passed for over 1,300 yards, 1,338 at last check. He's rushed for 1,785 yards, 18 passing touchdowns, 36 touchdowns aside from his play at quarterback, so 36 total touchdowns, primarily as a rusher. He is the guy far and away that has led the Rangers, and it's not a one-man show, but when you play in the smaller classification, sometimes one great player could be enough to kind of tip the scales. That's what the Rangers are hoping for with Sigg. Again, he is kind of bringing back memories of a guy like Terrell Pryor about 15 years ago and what he did at Gannett. just kind of taking over games and winning championships for the Jayhawks. We'll see if Sig, as just a sophomore, can cap off his incredible campaign. One of these teams will go to 14-0 and move on to the States. The other one will see their season end with their first and only loss of 2023. That is the 11 o'clock game. The 2 o'clock game is a matchup of two teams that have great football traditions, although a little bit different paths to get to the championship this year. It is the top-seeded Steel Valley Ironmen with a record of 10-1 this season, and it's not a surprise that Steel Valley is here. They played for and won a championship last year, so they are hoping to go back-to-back in terms of WPIAL titles. 10-1 record. Their only loss was non-conference early in the season in an overtime game against Seton LaSalle, but they have certainly not missed a beat because of that setback, maybe even a little bit better for it. They are six times WPIAL champions. Of course, I mentioned that they won it last year. They won it in 2018 and 2016 as well. Think back to that dominant team about a half decade ago that mercy ruled everyone en route to a state championship. They had terrific players, including Paris Ford, on that team. And this team, I think, could be right there in that same discussion. No, they haven't mercy ruled everyone, but they have been pretty dominant throughout the regular season and certainly throughout the postseason. The 2A bracket, there were byes to the top two seeds, so Steel Valley received a first-round bye, but they have left no doubt since then. It was a bit of a challenge for them in their first matchup against Western Beaver, the number 9 seed, but they secured a 21-18 victory to move on. Then they defeated number 5 Mohawk 34-21 last week to punch their ticket to Acrisure Stadium. Steel Valley led by Donald Barksdale, and he was kind of supposed to be a two-headed monster with Deron Barksdale, but he was injured early in the campaign, so it's been almost all Donald recently, rushing for nearly 2,000 yards at this point, 34 touchdowns as well. Tyson Barron is the quarterback for the Ironmen. He's thrown for about 700 yards. It's obviously a run-heavy attack for Steel Valley, but when you have a player the caliber of Donald Barksdale, that seems like a good idea. He has been one of the very best in the entire WPIAL this season. Offensively, averaging just over 35 points per game. Defensively, they have been stout as well. 11.5 points per game permitted by the Ironmen. They have a veteran head coach in Ray Brazo who knows how to win big games. He got his first championship last year. They won that game 34-14 down at Acrisure against their opponent today. That's the Beaver Falls Tigers. Although last year, Beaver Falls was one of the favorites heading into the 2A bracket in the postseason, this year it has been a different story. The Tigers have been the underdogs. They are the only double-digit seed to make it to the championship games today. They were able to do so as the number 10 seed. They knocked off and upset number 7 Keystone Oaks in the first round by a final score of 20-7. Then they edged number 2 Neshannock 14-13. So a one-point win a couple weeks ago, last week in the semis, a two-point victory against Wash High. They edged the Little Prexies 28-26. So they knocked off the number 7 seed, the number 2 seed, the number 3 seed. Now they will try to oust the top seed in this bracket. Nick Nardone, the head coach, as I mentioned, they are the number 10 seed, but they are used to playing on this stage, and they are used to winning championships. Five titles. They are hoping that today is number 6. Most recently, it came in 2020 when they captured district gold. Prior to that, 2016. Then it was a little bit prior to that, certainly. There was a big gap between the 2016 title and the 1984 championship team. Also, they captured titles in 1960. And, of course, the memorable 1928 Tigers team. I think Ron Cook was covering that team. That's, of course, the running joke here at the Fan. Caden Brinkner has taken over at quarterback recently. We'll see how much they go to the air, but they're a team, much like Steel Valley, primarily will utilize the rushing attack, as Italian Beauford has rushed for over 1,300 yards this season. He has 17 touchdowns as well. Their numbers collectively not as dominant as some of the other teams in this championship Friday. They are averaging just over 28 points per game and permitting about 18.5. So right around plus 10 in terms of the scoring margin in favor of the Tigers. But when you understand that they are the number 10 seed with an 8-5 overall record, you kind of throw those numbers out because it was not a dominant regular season, but the postseason run, they have found a way to win the tight games. They have been impressive closing out opponents, and I doubt that they're going to blow away Steel Valley. So for Beaver Falls, I think the recipe for success today, if they're able to capture the 2A title, keep it close until the fourth quarter and do what they've done the last couple of weeks, which is eke out a victory in a one-score contest.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That will set the stage for the Class 3A game, and I will actually be broadcasting this game, not for KDK, but from one of my other employers, and I'm looking forward to this one because much like it, the 2A matchup, this is a rematch from last year as well. It pits Belle Vernon area, the top seed in the bracket, against number 2, Avonworth. Last year, it went in favor of the Leopards, and it was the Quentin Martin show in 2022. The Penn State commit took over. He scored all 3 touchdowns for the Leopards in their victory against the Antelopes. Belle Vernon went on to win the state title as well. That was the first state title and the second WPIAL title for the Leopards. They had gotten there a couple of times prior under the guidance of head coach Matt Humbert, but finally were able to capture gold last year. And they returned the vast majority of that team that won the WPIAL and state titles in 2022. Of course, the headliner, Quentin Martin, I mentioned a Penn State commit. People have known about him since his freshman year when he was an All-American, really a special player, a guy who can line up at just about any position on offense, on defense, on special teams. He is primarily a running back. That is projected to be his position with the Nittany Lions next season, but they will split him out at wide receiver quite a bit. And he's not only their leading rusher, leads the team in carries as well. He leads them in receptions and receiving yards, as well as rushing touchdowns, receiving touchdowns, and of course, total touchdowns. He is at this point probably just as dangerous as a receiver as he is as a running back. And when they do split him out, they have a couple of other great threats in the backfield. Cole Doppelhauer, who has really burst onto the scene this year, a big play threat. He was very good last week in the Leopards' dominant victory against number 4, East Allegheny, 49-8 in favor of Belle Vernon area against the Wildcats. They were just as dominant in the quarterfinals when they blew out 8th-seeded Deer Lakes, 49-6. They got a bye in the first round as the top seed in this bracket. Jake Jedico, another familiar name for the Leopards, he's been doing it as a running back for the past 3 seasons. Braden Locks, their quarterback, he is a Division I recruit, Eastern Michigan, where he will not play quarterback. He is expected to play tight end, a position that he's not played at the high school level, but he is a great athlete, and certainly he can throw the football. He's thrown for well over 1,000 yards this year. Last year, he was a terrific running threat in certain games, including the state semifinals contest, so he is a big body, tough to bring down. If they try to take away Quentin Martin, they have no fear in letting Locks either use his arm or legs to try to win the game for the Leopards, and their defense has maybe been even more impressive than the offense this year. Martin, of course, a big part of that as a cornerback, but they've got a couple of gritty, tenacious middle linebackers who are undersized but always seem to be in the right spot and rack up the tackles in bunches. But on the other side, the Antelopes, they're looking for some vengeance after they came up short a year ago. It looked as though maybe this would be a rebuilding year for Avonworth because they graduated some terrific players, including a D1 recruit at quarterback and another D1 recruit at tight end from last year's team. But they have picked up right where they left off. Avonworth is undefeated at this point. The Leopards do have one loss, although it came against a 4A heavyweight in Thomas Jefferson. The Lopes still perfect this season, and it was not as easy for Avonworth as it's been for Belle Vernon through the playoffs, but still an impressive run for the Antelopes. 21-10, they knocked off Elizabeth Forward last week. They actually trailed that game in the second half, but were able to get a couple of touchdowns in the fourth quarter. And so they carry some momentum. They also knocked off number 7 seed Beaver 41-21 in the quarterfinals. Avonworth, much like Bell Vernon, received a bye in the first round. 4 total byes in this 3A bracket. Andrew Cuban is one of the key players for them. He is their leading receiver, but he can also run the football. Last week, they primarily used him as a Wildcat quarterback, and his ability with the running game was too much for EF to stop. Brandon Bijarelli, the Bucknell commit, he is also a running back that they use in tough situations, and he really stands out as a linebacker. He has been the leading tackler the last couple of seasons. Really, since his freshman season, he has been a special, special player on that side of the football. Duke John Core has captured a title leading Avonworth previously, that coming in 2019. They are now playing in 3A. That title came in 2A, but they have proven once again to be one of the very best teams. The question is, can they get over the hump against Bell Vernon? The first ever meeting between the programs last year, as I mentioned, was in the championship. The Leopards won that one, went on to win a state title. Avonworth looking for some vengeance today at 5 o'clock. That should be a terrific matchup. And again, Quinton Martin, the top prospect, not only in the WPIAL, but in the entire state of Pennsylvania among the senior class, looking to create another memorable moment. If anyone saw the game last year, I mentioned 3 touchdowns, but he had a 51-yard punt return that I think will go down as one of the most memorable plays in WPIAL championship history, at least this century, at Heinz Field / Acrisure Stadium. Just a incredible, breathtaking punt return touchdown for the player known as Q. Lastly, the nightcap, scheduled for 8 o'clock. Fingers crossed that it starts at 8. Who knows? Because if any of the other games run long, that typically will get pushed back a little bit. This should be a good one. And I talked about 2 teams with good football traditions in 2A with Steel Valley and Beaver Falls. Well, take that to a higher level when it's Aliquippa and McKeesport. The Quips, number 1 seed. The Tigers, the number 2 seed. When you think of WPIAL football, these are 2 of the storied programs that first come to mind, and probably no one comes to mind more when you think of competing for championships than Aliquippa. Unbelievably, the 16th consecutive year that the Quips will be playing for district gold. That streak has to be one of the most impressive high school football accomplishments in the entire country, especially considering that Aliquippa is now doing it in 4A with a class 1A enrollment. It is truly something special. It has spanned, really at this point, generations. As I mentioned, 16 years, it has spanned different coaches. Mikey Warfield, now the head coach, who has done such a terrific job. They are looking for the three-peat. It's not going to be easy for Aliquippa, but I don't think the Quips expect anything to come easy. They love to earn it. So far, they have earned it through the postseason. They really kind of shockingly overwhelmed 4-seeded Mars area last week, 47-24 in favor of the Quips in the semifinals. Prior to that, in the quarterfinals, they got a terrific test from number 9 Greater Latrobe. It was a 37-29 victory for the Quips, but they got a late touchdown to give them some breathing room. That was an even closer game. It was a 2-point lead late into the fourth quarter. Greater Latrobe had the football. Looked as though maybe there was a shocker brewing, but the Quips do what they do best. Bear down at their Heinz Field, their home field now rechristened as Heinz Field. And the joke is, of course, they played so many times down at Heinz Field in the WPIL championships that it's only fitting that that's the name of their field now. They escaped that upset bid by the Wildcats in the quarterfinals after Aliquippa got a first-round bye as the top seed. Some of the names for the Quips are familiar. Tyke Hayes, the junior running back who is a Penn State commit. He's been doing this since his freshman year. He was a big part of that championship in 2021 that came against, at the time, Bell Vernon area was competing in 4A. The Leopards were the favorite going in, but it was Aliquippa and their freshman Hayes who really burst onto the scene. They won that title last year. They went back-to-back, winning in 4A against Central Valley. Now they're looking to complete the three-peat against McKeesport. Hayes is the headliner, but he is certainly not alone. John Tracy, also out of the backfield. He had a game this year where he scored 5 touchdowns 5 different ways. He probably would be the guy on most other teams. He's kind of taken a back seat to Hayes, but he is terrific in his own right. Quinton Good, the quarterback, has been able to sling it around the yard this year for the Quips and for Coach Warfield. And of course, you always think of the dominance in the trenches. Aliquippa not quite as big on the offensive and defensive lines as some past seasons, but they are plenty good. And still considering the size of the school, they are not hardly ever outsized when it comes to the battle of the trenches. So Aliquippa, I think, probably the favorite heading into this one. But McKeesport, that's a team that has incredible football tradition as well. The Tigers, the number two seed. I thought it would be maybe a rebuilding year for Matt Miller's squad after they graduated some terrific players, including Bobby Boyd from last year, Jamil Perryman as well, two outstanding players. I didn't think that they would be able to keep up their level of play, but they've done that, and then some. McKeesport has lost to Aliquippa in the playoffs each of the past 2 years. 2021, it was an absolute heartbreaker in double overtime, a game in which it seemed like McKeesport was going to break through and get to play in a championship. That was not to be. Last year's much more lopsided in favor of the Quips. Now they meet for the third consecutive year, this time with a championship on the line. McKeesport's been close under their head coach, Matt Miller. 2016, the first year that the classifications expanded from 4 to 6, McKeesport played in the championship. I remember broadcasting that game. It seemed as though McKeesport had it won. Not to be. There was a missed field goal that was called back on penalty. Ultimately, in overtime, West Allegheny ended up winning in a thriller. McKeesport has not been back to the title game since, but this year they've done it, and it has been the Spell brothers who have been a big part of that. Keith Spell, the senior, who is a big, big body, they moved him to running back at about the midway point of the season, and he has just been overpowering the competition. And come on, Spell, his younger brother, a freshman phenom, he is a big play threat. Keith Spell, I mentioned, a big body. Come on, Spell is a lightning bolt who has proven to be one of the most electric players in all of the WPIAL. Certainly the most electric amongst the freshmen, which is a terrific freshman class, by the way, this year. Tigers doubled up number three Montour last week, 28-14. They won 28-14 in the quarterfinals as well against a very good 10-seeded Trinity team. McKeesport had the first round bye. They will try to get back in the championship circle, another program that has been there many, many times before, but it's been a little while for McKeesport. Matt Miller, as I mentioned, looking to get his first, and I think he realizes how special this opportunity is after coming so close in 2016. Should be a terrific day of football down in Acrisure. Again, KDKA Radio will have broadcasts of all four games. It's going to be a terrific day and the culmination of the season for these teams getting to play under the bright lights at Acrisure Stadium. I am so looking forward to being down there witnessing some of these games in person as well. I hope everyone has a chance, if they can't attend in person, certainly to tune in to our coverage right here on KDK AM Radio. Take a quick break. When we continue, I want to talk about the NBA in-season tournament and if maybe we could see something similar coming to other sports. It's the Wake Up Show presented by 84 Lumber. Put your positive attitude to work at 84 Lumber. You can apply at 84lumber.com. Sean Myers, Fan Early Morning Show. We'll be back after this right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It is the Fan Early Morning Show. Sean Myers taking you for a few more minutes here before I turn it over to the true professionals, Jeff Hathorne and Paul Zeiss, out at Bowser Studio B, Bowser Chevrolet in Monroeville. Beautiful, beautiful studio assembled out there in my former stomping grounds of Monroeville. Talked about the terrific slate of games to take place today down at Acrisure Stadium. The four WPIAL championship games, Class 1A through 4A. If people were wondering, wasn't there six classifications? Yeah, we already crowned a couple champions last week. 6A North Allegheny in the upset over Central Catholic. 5A Peters Township completing its dominant WPIL season, knocking off Pine Richland. Those games took place at Norwin High School. So Peters and North Allegheny begin the state playoff journey this weekend, whereas the 1A through 4A championships down in Acrisure. And I would think that ideally you would be able to find a way to get all of the games at Acrisure, but just not feasible since they expanded from four classifications to six classifications. So we will still have four great games, but two champions already have been crowned in the WPIAL football this fall. mentioned before that I want to talk about the in-season tournament for the NBA, and I kind of have a little bit different of a perspective than a lot of people do on this. I'm a big NBA fan. I know there's a, you know, certainly there a number of basketball fans here in Pittsburgh, but just with the lack of a NBA team, it's not as big as the other professional sports. But I think that what the NBA does is really, with David Silver, Adam Silver, the commissioner, he has been very innovative. He has listened to the fans. He has found a way to kind of have the pulse of what people want. He is, I think, far and away the most popular commissioner. And one thing that he is always doing is trying to get ahead of the curve in terms of coming up with new ideas, trying to be innovative and create more interest, obviously create more money for the league as well. But I think the big thing is, how could they make the regular season more exciting? Because let's be honest, you hear the complaints all the time. Players don't really try that much in the regular season. And it's easy to say that because, of course, 82 games, it's not like college basketball where you're only playing 30 games and playing maybe twice a week. You have the NBA schedule where you're playing three, sometimes four games a week. You have back-to-backs. These players just get a little gassed. It's a 48-minute game, not a 40-minute game. And so the energy and intensity for periods of time just is lacking in the regular season. But then you see the defense picks up significantly in the postseason. Teams really, the effort overall, just the level of play, it is a different animal in the postseason. So how could the NBA try to create some urgency with the regular season, make it more appealing for the viewers to turn it to tune in and to create a higher level of play amongst the players? Well, the idea that had been talked about for several years now and has now come to fruition is the in-season tournament. And everything I have read has been positive, saying it's created more interest. It has brought a significance and a level of urgency to these games. Personally, I've watched a couple of in-season tournament games, and I really don't think that there's been that much of a difference what I've seen. I think maybe sometimes we're looking to say, oh, yes, this is a better level of basketball. There's more on the line. And I've seen examples of, oh, there was that fight with Golden State and I believe Minnesota where Draymond Green was choking out Rudy Gobert. It means so much to these players. You wouldn't see that in a regular, normal, regular season game. I think that that's trying to kind of connect the dots when it's just those things happen over the course of a season. You get really good regular season games even before you had an in-season tournament. So I don't know that there's really been a difference. I think that it's a cool idea in the sense that you have a different look to things and you try to create something in terms of stakes. But we're not even through the first year of this. I think it is a wait-and-see approach. But the people who are already deeming this a wild success, I think, are a bit premature because it looks different. Sure, you have those absurdly colored courts. And if you haven't seen yet, you need to check out. It does not look like a traditional basketball court by any stretch of the imagination. Very, very brightly colored. It is sometimes it almost hurts your eyes to look at these games. You certainly know that it's an in-season tournament game because it looks 100% different than any other basketball court you've seen. The fact that they are treated as regular season games in terms of the wins and losses makes sense. I had no idea. I thought this was going to be completely separate, almost like when the NHL has their Olympic break and then players go and play for, you know, the Olympic teams. But it's really kind of just the exact same as the regular season. They just say, well, this is a tournament game every Tuesday or Friday, so on. Once we get to the final eight teams, however, and a couple of teams have already qualified, the Lakers and the Pacers have already punched their ticket. There's six different divisions, and it's not the same as the regular season divisions for some reason. They have different pods. So one team from each and then a wild card from the East, a wild card from the West. They will play the eight teams in Vegas and then crown a champion. We'll see then how the basketball is, if there really is some intensity to it. But I don't know how much it matters. There's a payout for players, and certainly for the players who aren't making a ton of money, that will be nice. But I don't know that it's going to make a world of difference. Wait and see, but I am still not a total believer in the in-season tournament. I think it's a little gimmicky. Maybe it gets some interesting games once you get to the semifinals and the championship game in Vegas. But for the team that wins, it'll be cool to say we're the first ever NBA in-season tournament champion. But are you raising a banner? Does it really mean that much? Because, again, the ultimate goal is the NBA playoffs and the NBA championship, not an in-season tournament. And I think especially after the first year, will it lose some of its appeal for these players? I would suggest that it will. Even though money is at stake and everyone loves more money, I don't know that it's really going to be a game changer when it's all said and done in terms of the NBA. I think this year more than any, you are seeing some interest just because people want to see how it plays out. But beyond this season, I don't think it will be much of a game changer. Well, that's going to do it for the Fan Early Morning Show. Of course, I'm going to turn it over to the true professionals, Jeff Hathorn and Paul Zeiss, coming via Studio B, Bowser Chevrolet in Monroeville. They'll be with you coming up momentarily, but for now, signing off, Sean Myers saying thank you so much for tuning in to the Fan Early Morning Show right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It is the Fan Early Morning Show. Sean Myers taking you for a few more minutes here before I turn it over to the true professionals, Jeff Hathorn and Paul Zeiss, out at Bowser Studio B, Bowser Chevrolet in Monroeville. Beautiful, beautiful studio assembled out there in my former stomping grounds of Monroeville. Talked about the terrific slate of games to take place today down at Acrisure Stadium. The four WPIAL championship games, Class 1A through 4A. If people were wondering, wasn't there six classifications? Yeah, we already crowned a couple champions last week. 6A, North Allegheny in the upset over Central Catholic. 5A, Peters Township completing its dominant WPIL season, knocking off Pine Richland. Those games took place at Norwin High School. So Peters and North Allegheny begin the state playoff journey this weekend, whereas the 1A through 4A championships down in Acrisure. And I would think that ideally you would be able to find a way to get all of the games at Acrisure, but just not feasible since they expanded from four classifications to six classifications. So we will still have four great games, but two champions already have been crowned in the WPIAL football this fall. Mentioned before that I want to talk about the in-season tournament for the NBA, and I kind of have a little bit different of a perspective than a lot of people do on this. I'm a big NBA fan. I know there's a number of basketball fans here in Pittsburgh, but just with the lack of a NBA team, it's not as big as the other professional sports. But I think that what the NBA does is really, with Adam Silver, the commissioner, he has been very innovative. He has listened to the fans. He has found a way to kind of have the pulse of what people want. He is, I think, far and away the most popular commissioner. And one thing that he is always doing is trying to get ahead of the curve in terms of coming up with new ideas, trying to be innovative and create more interest, obviously create more money for the league as well. But I think the big thing is, how could they make the regular season more exciting? Because let's be honest, you hear the complaints all the time. Players don't really try that much in the regular season. And it's easy to say that because, of course, 82 games, it's not like college basketball where you're only playing 30 games and playing maybe twice a week. You have the NBA schedule where you're playing three, sometimes four games a week. You have back-to-backs. These players just get a little gassed. It's a 48-minute game, not a 40-minute game. And so the energy and intensity for periods of time just is lacking in the regular season. But then you see the defense picks up significantly in the postseason. Teams really, the effort overall, just the level of play, it is a different animal in the postseason. So how could the NBA try to create some urgency with the regular season, make it more appealing for the viewers to tune in and to create a higher level of play amongst the players? Well, the idea that had been talked about for several years now and has now come to fruition is the in-season tournament. And everything I have read has been positive, saying it's created more interest. It has brought a significance and a level of urgency to these games. Personally, I've watched a couple of in-season tournament games, and I really don't think that there's been that much of a difference what I've seen. I think maybe sometimes we're looking to say, oh, yes, this is a better level of basketball. There's more on the line. And I've seen examples of, oh, there was that fight with Golden State and I believe Minnesota where Draymond Green was choking out Rudy Gobert. It means so much to these players. You wouldn't see that in a regular season game. I think that that's trying to kind of connect the dots when it's just those things happen over the course of a season. You get really good regular season games even before you had an in-season tournament. So I don't know that there's really been a difference. I think that it's a cool idea in the sense that you have a different look to things and you try to create something in terms of stakes. But we're not even through the first year of this. I think it is a wait-and-see approach. But the people who are already deeming this a wild success, I think, are a bit premature because it looks different. Sure, you have those absurdly colored courts. And if you haven't seen yet, you need to check out. It does not look like a traditional basketball court by any stretch of the imagination. Very, very brightly colored. It is sometimes it almost hurts your eyes to look at these games. You certainly know that it's an in-season tournament game because it looks 100% different than any other basketball court you've seen. The fact that they are treated as regular season games in terms of the wins and losses makes sense. I had no idea. I thought this was going to be completely separate, almost like when the NHL has their Olympic break and then players go and play for, you know, the Olympic teams. But it's really kind of just the exact same as the regular season. They just say, well, this is a tournament game every Tuesday or Friday, so on. Once we get to the final eight teams, however, and a couple of teams have already qualified, the Lakers and the Pacers have already punched their ticket. There's six different divisions, and it's not the same as the regular season divisions for some reason. They have different pods. So one team from each, and then a wild card from the East, a wild card from the West. They will play the eight teams in Vegas and then crown a champion. We'll see then how the basketball is, if there really is some intensity to it. But I don't know how much it matters. There's a payout for players, and certainly for the players who aren't making a ton of money, that will be nice. But I don't know that it's going to make a world of difference. Wait and see, but I am still not a total believer in the in-season tournament. I think it's a little gimmicky. Maybe it gets some interesting games once you get to the semifinals and the championship game in Vegas. But for the team that wins, it'll be cool to say we're the first ever NBA in-season tournament champion. But are you raising a banner? Does it really mean that much? Because, again, the ultimate goal is the NBA playoffs and the NBA championship, not an in-season tournament. And I think especially after the first year, will it lose some of its appeal for these players? I would suggest that it will. Even though money is at stake and everyone loves more money, I don't know that it's really going to be a game changer when it's all said and done in terms of the NBA. I think this year more than any, you are seeing some interest just because people want to see how it plays out. But beyond this season, I don't think it will be much of a game changer. Well, that's going to do it for the Fan Early Morning Show. Of course, I'm going to turn it over to the true professionals, Jeff Hathorn and Paul Zeiss, coming via Studio B, Bowser Chevrolet in Monroeville. They'll be with you coming up momentarily, but for now, signing off, Sean Myers saying thank you so much for tuning in to the Fan Early Morning Show right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.